From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his first in a series of messages expounding one of the most blessed and beloved passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. The theme of this chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Always Hears. The text is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 7. My God will hear me. Friends may be unfaithful, but the Lord will not turn away from the gracious soul. On the contrary, He will hear all its desires. The prophet says, Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Oh, this is a wretched state of affairs. But even in such a case, the best friend remains true, and we may tell him all our grief. Our wisdom is to look unto the Lord, and not to quarrel with men or women. If our loving appeals are disregarded by our relatives, let us wait upon the God of our salvation, for He will hear us. He will hear us all the more, because of the unkindness and oppression of others. And we shall soon have reason to cry, Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Because God is the living God, He can hear. Because He is a loving God, He will hear. Because He is our covenant God, He has bound Himself to hear us. If we can each one speak of Him as my God, we may with absolute certainty say, My God will hear me. Come then, O bleeding heart, and let thy sorrows tell themselves out to the Lord thy God. I will bow the knee in secret, and inwardly whisper, My God will hear me.
Silence is your answer to my prayer.
Oh, my day, never unto sand, a trust with all my heart.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On the previous edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies on the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has been called the Gospel of the Old Testament for its many prophetic passages that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, from his virgin birth to his sacrificial death on the cross and beyond. Chapter 53 portrays the clearest prophecy of Christ's crucifixion, as well as the reason for it, to be found in the Old Testament. Dr. Cairns has begun these studies with verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, for that is where the passage really starts. The verses fall into three parts: Christ the servant, Christ the sufferer, and Christ the Savior. In verse 13, Isaiah presents Christ as God's ultimate servant, the one who would fulfill the Father's will by taking unto himself a true humanity and dying for his people. In this verse, Christ the servant displays three characteristics: his prudence, his prosperity, and his praise. Now, with the next portion of a message entitled The Humiliation and Exaltation of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
It is very interesting that when he deals with this title, the servant of the Lord, when it comes to Isaiah 53, here you have the servant of the Lord going to the ultimate, going to the death, being the sacrifice, the propitiation, to placate the wrath of God, to expiate the guilt of man, and to reconcile the souls that have been alienated to God, to justify them, sanctify them, glorify them. He has gone to the ultimate. Here then is the great pinnacle of the service of the servant of the Lord. That is the last reference to the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. Chapter 53 gives you the last reference to the servant of the Lord in Isaiah. From then on, in chapter 54 and following, you will find that the word is plural. It is the servants of the Lord. There are no servants of the Lord unless there is, first of all, the servant of the Lord. And only on the basis of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, culminated on Calvary's cross, only on that basis have we any ground ever to be accepted as servants of the Lord. I was reading a wonderful statement the Lord told Moses to give to the children of Israel. I've been thinking about it. I'll get to preach on it some of these days. I was just thinking this morning as I pondered it a little more, that I wish I were a songwriter, because I think there's a great hymn, there's a great song, there's a great testimony in it. You remember when they came out of the land of Egypt, the Lord gave to Moses the first order about the use of phylacteries. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. He told them what they were to bind about their eyes and about their hands in order to remind them of his dealings with them. But as he did so, it's very important to notice this. He said, when your sons ask you, what is this all about? When they come inquiring about this, listen to verse 8 of chapter 13 in Exodus. This is the answer. This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me. Our service is done because of what the Lord did. This is what Isaiah's use of the servant and the servants all adds up to. Our service is not done to obtain the favor of God. Our service is not done to get God off our back. Our service is not done to remove the rod of God's affliction or the rod of God's punishment. Our service is not done to unlock the gate of heaven. Our service is done because of what Christ has done for us and to us. It is the free expression of justified men, of reconciled souls who are serving the Lord in the liberty of love for Christ. That's what our service is. You see, Christ is the only servant who could ever please God completely. He's the only servant who could ever satisfy the law of God totally. He is the only servant whose entire service could be opened up to the scrutiny of the all-seeing eye of his Father and to the examination of the strictest understanding of God's law and yet come out pure, spotless, unblemished. He is the servant uniquely. Of course, to be the servant, he entered the depths of humiliation. Because he is not by eternal generation as the second person of the everlasting Trinity. He is not the servant of the Father. He is the Son. Co-equal. That, I realize, is tautology. It's a big word for this time of the morning, but I realize that, but theologians like to use, to emphasize, equality. He is co-equal. He is co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is by eternal generation the Son. But as Hebrews tells us, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. In spite of the fact that he was the Son of God, he became the servant of the Lord. And it's interesting in those verses in the book of the Acts where you have the reference to thy holy child, Jesus. The force of the word child is much more thy holy servant, Jesus. He is the servant of the Lord. Behold my servant. Now when you behold the servant, there are three things that you are to behold. Behold his prudence. First and foremost, behold my servant shall deal prudently. His prudence. The idea is wisdom. There's a big debate as to whether this is speaking of the personal prudence and wisdom of the Lord Jesus or not. I personally believe it is. It's speaking of his wisdom in his work. Notice his prudence. And in this, the Lord Jesus, being the servant, is the pattern for all true servants. The servants of the Lord should always deal wisely. Didn't the Lord Jesus tell his disciples that they should be as wise as servants, though harmless as doves? The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 5, be ye not unwise. God's servants should always deal prudently. Have a look at the prudence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, and you will find he always kept his mission in view. He never lost sight of what his mission was. He was not sidetracked. I remember one of the first things I heard from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was on a record, a sermon or a talk he gave many, many years ago to students. And I wish I could tell it as he did, when all the BJ people who ever heard him will know it off by heart, I'm sure, about a dog that was supposed to be a coon hunter, and instead of hunting coons, it turned off on jackrabbit trails. A lot of Christians like that. The true servant knows that there are going to be many side trails. There are going to be many things that will take his attention away. There will be things that will press in upon him to try and get him to lose the vision of what his mission is. But the Lord Jesus Christ shows us what prudence in service really is when he kept his mission ever before him. And he refused to deviate one hair's breadth from that God-appointed mission. He always acted in pursuing that mission. He always acted in accordance with the expressed will of God. That is true wisdom. I want you to see this. True wisdom to the Lord Jesus Christ was not doing that thing which appeared to offer the best chance of success. That was not true wisdom. True wisdom was not doing that thing which was going to get the most people on his side. True wisdom was not doing things that men would applaud. True wisdom was not even that which was going to be comfortable to him. True wisdom was doing what he had to do in perfect accord with the express will and word of God. That is prudence in service. Not only so, but here I feel is something that we would all do well to ask the Lord to seal to us. I know as a preacher, I constantly seek for this, and I lament every time I feel of it. But when I look at the servant of the Lord in the New Testament, I'm amazed at how he judiciously used the Scriptures and applied the Word of God in different ways to different people, meeting them at the point of their need and dealing with them as he knew they really were. That's my big gripe about all this principal way of doing this and doing that. Five principles for dealing with people, soul winning made easy. Do this, do this, do this. That's my big gripe about it. People are not machines. They are not clones. When people come to a preacher, too often they are dealt with as cases. And as soon as they come, the preacher's mentally flipping the leaves of the little manual that he has read and trying to find out which page this case appears on. There's nobody perfect in this except the Lord Jesus himself. But I personally believe, and I ask the Lord to enable me to do this, when people come, I want to listen. And as I listen, I want to pray. I want to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the word that this man or this woman, this sinner or this backslider, this Christian needs at this particular time. I've often found that the Lord has answered prayer when I haven't even known he has answered it. I've often found that oftentimes later even, there have been people who have said, there was a word for me. There was a particular word, a phrase, a sentence, a verse that I have forgotten even ever having used. But the Lord used it. That's the prudence of the servant of the Lord. Time forbids that we go through with the New Testament to see how he did it. You remember when Andrew came to him. He asked them, whom seekest thou? In other words, what he was doing was strengthening the resolve, giving verbal expression to the decision that grace had already wrought in the mind of Andrew, that he was now recognizing Jesus of Nazareth as the Lord's Christ. He met Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, who began with some praise that was probably sincere, but nonetheless was going to becloud the issue. The Lord Jesus just cut him short. And he told him, you must be born again. However, when he talked to the sinful woman at the well of Sychar, he didn't cut her short.
He held conversation with her and gently led her to the knowledge of himself. That is prudence. Watch the wisdom of Christ, the servant of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.